Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good Monday morning, everyone. And if you took the weekend off from following the news, or even just a few hours to go out to dinner on Saturday night, you might have missed that a historic peace agreement to end the Afghanistan war was secretly in the works to be timed for this Wednesday's 9/11 anniversary, and then publicly canceled by the president on Twitter on Saturday night, publicly canceled, even though the public never knew it was a thing. One reason for the cancellation, according to the New York Times today, Trump didn't want to simply announce that a deal was struck by months of work by his team. He wanted to gather the parties at Camp David and pretend that he personally brokered it on the spot, something the Taliban would not agree to. And it turns out they weren't that close to a peace deal anyway. From reading the press accounts, failing to resolve a few little things, like whether the peace agreement would include, well, peace. The Taliban killed an American and other people in the run-up to the talks. So that's one thing you may have missed over the weekend. Another could have been former Congressman Mark Sanford announcing that he's challenging Trump for the Republican nomination for president, and Sanford's home state of South Carolina canceling its primary. This is what democracy looks like. On the Democratic side, you might have missed the new ABC News Washington Post poll land with Biden and Sanders maintaining their top two positions, but Elizabeth Warren continuing to climb into a stronger third place. And everybody else? Well, they're everybody else. This Thursday is the next debate. And maybe you didn't hear the sound of 535 members of Congress slipping back into Washington after their summer recess. After that brief lull, well, it wasn't that brief, the plot resumes and thickens this week around possible impeachment, as well as policy issues like the new pressure for gun legislation after this summer's mass shootings. And oh, this Thursday is the next Democratic debate. With us first today with some of his takes, Cenk Uygur, founder, CEO, and host of The Young Turks, the progressive online television show. Hi, Cenk. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
First, tell people who don't know The Young Turks, because I know a lot of our listeners do, but a lot of our listeners don't, what your show is, and for transparency, where you're generally coming from.
Yep. We're the largest online news show in the country right now, and we clearly have a progressive bent. In fact, we call ourselves Home of Progressives, and that's part of the reason why we're so successful online, especially with The Young.
What was that word?
Especially with the young.
No. Young. What progressives?
Home of progressives.
Home of progressives. Gotcha. Content-wise, I actually want to start with impeachment because the drama seems about to resume in earnest this week with New York Congressman Gerald Nadler reportedly planning to hold a Judiciary Committee vote. He's the Judiciary Chairman. On new rules for hearings that frame impeachment as an explicit possibility. Now, for people who may have forgotten, this was still on the table during the summer recess when it did recede from public view. What are you expecting on the investigations front?
Yes. Well, I can understand why people are confused because Democratic leadership is clearly confused. They seem to be proceeding with impeachment without really quite telling anyone, and it's not really coming to an agreement internally. I happen to think it's great that Nadler is proceeding. I'm not at all sure that Pelosi's bought into this yet, but you're never going to know whether the American people want Donald Trump out for all of his lawbreaking, which is plentiful, unless you actually try him, actually do those hearings. So it's at least about time. They really should have started much earlier.
And listeners, you can enter this conversation anywhere with a comment or a question on the not announced but then canceled Afghanistan peace talks, on Trump getting another primary challenger. Any Trump Republicans from 2016 listening who are now shopping for an alternative in a primary if your state deigns to hold one, or on the prospect of the impeachment inquiries ramping up again and expanding? Do you want that, listeners? Or anything else? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we talk Monday morning politics with Cenk Uygur from Drink Huger from the Young Turks, 212-433-9692. Reportedly, Nadler will broaden the inquiries to go beyond obstruction of the Robert Mueller probe, or I think much of the public conversation has been, to, in addition, Trump's role in the hush money to women before the election. It's so easy to forget with so much that has happened on this that Michael Cohen is in prison today for that, and the prosecutors named Trump as directing the scheme, though he wasn't indicted. And they'll also ramp up investigations into corruption, like Trump trying baldly to profit from being president by promoting that official United States government business be held at his properties. For example, after the G7 last month, not held at a Trump property, he suggested that the next one be. Listen.
We have a series of magnificent buildings. We call them bungalows. They each hold from 50 to 70 very luxurious rooms with magnificent views. We have incredible conference rooms, incredible restaurants. It's like such a natural. We wouldn't even have to do the work that they did here. And they've done a beautiful job. They've really done a beautiful job. The ballrooms are among the biggest in Florida and the best. It's brand new. And they want that. My people wanted it. From my standpoint, I'm not going to make any money. In my opinion, I'm not going to make any money.
So, Cenk, let's leave that last claim aside that he wouldn't make any money. That came right after the G7 just recently. Are we so numb that we're not like popping out of our skin saying, wait, that's the president of the United States baldly trying to capitalize on his position?
Look, Brian, I've been saying all along that he absolutely, positively has to be impeached on both the obstruction charges and the campaign finance charges. I'm thrilled that people are finally coming back to that. His co-conspirator is in prison as we speak. How many crimes are you going to let him get away with? But on the self-enrichment, it's so brazen, so over the top, and involves, in this case, clearly foreign governments. That's Emoluments Clause 101. And then, look, then there's the mental instability. So, yes, he drew in on a National Weather Service map with a Sharpie. But, Brian, do we think Nancy Pelosi would have done anything if he'd drawn it in with crayon? I just feel like she would let him get away with almost anything at this point. So that's why she hasn't even made clear that she supports Nadler on this project, when the overwhelming majority of Democratic voters say, for God's sake, impeach already.
When we have a health care shortage, when we have a mass shootings epidemic, when we have an opioid epidemic, the other side of the argument you just made is that the Democrats would be politically stupid if they focus on Trump's life rather than voters' lives and just go defeat him at the polls next year.
Yeah, well, look, first of all, impeachment should not be a political matter. And so if you let the president break multiple laws over and over again, you've created a lawless country, let alone the constitutional violations. The minute he said, I'm diverting money from the Pentagon to projects that Congress did not vote on, they should have started impeachment immediately.
That's the wall in particular.
That's right. That's a bold and brazen violation of the Constitution. If you let the president get away with that, then you can say, well, you let me get away with it. Now I'm diverting even more money from that project to this project. Now Congress is totally irrelevant. So that's what Nancy Pelosi is letting him do. But if Nancy Pelosi's main argument is, no, Cenk, I want to focus on issues, that's why I'm not doing impeachment, that'd be great. Where? What issues? What are you talking about? All right, great, deal. Let's do Medicare for all. Let's do Green New Deal. Oh, right. Pelosi also doesn't want to do any of that. She blocked a $15 minimum wage increase for 6 months because 6 conservative Democrats didn't agree. Preposterous. And that she said that would happen in the first 100 hours. She has no progressive priorities she actually wants to fight for. She doesn't want to fight for impeachment. That's because she doesn't want to fight for anything except her beloved status quo.
But what's the point of passing any legislation in the House right now if Mitch McConnell isn't ever going to bring it to a vote?
Brian, to fight and get them on the record. Because if Mitch McConnell says, hey, I'm against a $15 minimum wage, great. then we at least know Republicans for sure are against raising your wages. They're in favor of corporate power. They're against the average American. You make them vote on that on issue after issue after issue. Medicare for All actually is enormously popular in the country. You make them defend private insurance, which has been robbing us blind all this time. You make them actually go and have these votes. Otherwise, if you say, well, Mitch McConnell is going to block everything I do, well, then pack up and go home. What kind of a defeatist attitude is that? Usually the one we have from Democratic leadership.
By the way, on the claim that the president made at the end of that clip, which is after he was, you know, being the salesman in chief for his Miami, I think that's where in Florida that is, his Miami property for the next G7. He did conclude that statement by saying he wouldn't profit from it. Do you know the basis of that argument? Is it simply that he, as president, detached himself from running the company, so it's his sons who run the company who would profit from it? Or do you know the, I imagine that's subject to debate, that claim. Do you know the basis of it?
Well, first of all, we know that it's in Miami because he would not stop talking about how it's just 5 minutes from the Miami airport.
All right.
I mean, it was a giant advertisement for his properties, which already is problematic, let alone whether they actually stay there. But if they do stay there, is there any basis for Trump saying he wouldn't profit off of it? Of course not. There's never any basis for Trump saying anything. He makes up numbers all the time, completely out of whole cloth. So would he profit? Of course he'd profit. Of course he would. And he'd make up some excuse about, oh, no, it went to my kids, then later to me, but not yet me. It doesn't matter what he says. All of this is outrageous. If Obama did 1% of this, the Republicans would have impeached him years ago.
212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks and Rachel in Rockaway. You're on WNYC. Hello, Rachel.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an issue with your guest always going on and on about all the things that Nancy Pelosi does wrong and the blatant misogyny behind his message, which is very skewed towards a pro-Sanders message, and he was very hurtful towards Hillary Clinton and I believe contributed to the situation we're in now. And I want to know what he wants to do or could do to fire up his base to actually defeat Trump rather than complain about what everyone does wrong. Nancy Pelosi is coming from a place of reality where it doesn't matter if we impeach, if Mitch McConnell will block everything and there's no way of doing anything but strengthening Trump's base. So I'll take my answer off there.
Thank you, Rachel. Cenk?
Yeah, I think Rachel hurts the cause of fighting misogyny and sexism when she levels it at some of the most liberal people in the country. She's completely and utterly off base and ridiculously offensive. So one of my two favorite candidates is Elizabeth Warren. I said on the night of 2016 on election night that she would be the next president of the United States of America. I don't agree with Nancy Pelosi, and I don't have to agree with her because she's a woman. That is a terribly disempowering message to send to women. What, that I have to agree with all women? How about Betsy DeVos? Do I have to agree with her? Nancy Pelosi does nothing but protect her beloved wealthy donors and the status quo. On the other hand, Elizabeth Warren fights and fights for us and fights for the average American worker. I'll take her over any of those status quo politicians any day of the week. Do I fight against Trump? Are you crazy? I get death threats every single day from the right wing because of how hard I fight against Donald Trump. He is mentally incompetent. He should be removed both through impeachment and the 25th Amendment. He's wrong on every single issue. No one on earth fights Donald Trump more than the Young Turks do. So get your facts straight before you call in and embarrass yourself.
But, Cenk, it's one thing to say you disagree with Pelosi on her judgment about whether to proceed with impeachment right now. It's another thing to say what you just said, which is that she does nothing but protect the status quo and her millionaire donors. Nancy Pelosi,
really? That's right. 100%. So when they asked her, why don't you go after Donald Trump? One of the reasons she gave was, well, he raised a lot of money for us. That is a sickening answer. And when they asked her, hey, Nancy Pelosi, why should you be Speaker of the House at the beginning of this term? She said, I raised the most money. By her own metric, she brags about, I'm the most corrupt. I raise the most amount of money from wealthy donors. That's why I should be the leader.
I don't know that exact quote, but again, this is hardly what Nancy Pelosi would say is her central or only qualification to be Speaker of the House. I mean, come on.
No, I think that when she was asked and she said, I raised the most money, that basic, and come on, Brian, really, are we having this conversation? Is she the strongest progressive in the country? Of course not. Is she the best leader in the country for Democrats? I mean, I've seen her surrender, and you've seen her surrender for 20, 30 years straight now to the Republicans. No, what is she the number one at? Raising money. That is true. She's raised over $580 million for the Democratic Party. And so that's why she's Speaker of the House, because we have a systemic corruption where the most corrupt are rewarded the highest positions. I'm not at all impressed by her fundraising. All I've ever seen her do is give up to Republicans. Her main claim to fame is, I once passed the Affordable Care Act, which was originally a Heritage Foundation plan with a supermajority of Democrats. Wow, what a master legislator.
But
she fighting Trump? She passing any progressive legislation? Nothing as usual.
But, Cenk, we covered the Affordable Care Act. That was incredibly complicated to get through a Democratic Congress. Remember the first 2 years of the Bill Clinton administration when he had a Democratic Congress in both houses and he couldn't get healthcare reform through? And it was incredibly complicated. They couldn't get Democrats to go along with a public option. So to write that off as nothing, not accurate, is it?
No, but wait a minute, Brian. So I picked her biggest claim to fame. So in 20, 30 some odd years of leadership, she, whenever she's asked, the only thing she could ever point to is the Affordable Care Act. And then if you're going to say that that's you're a champion because of doing that, you have to acknowledge that that plan was originally Romney Care. It was originally passed by Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. It was originally built by the Heritage Foundation. It's already a right-wing plan. And then she can't even get the public option put into it. If she put the public option into it, I'd say, hey, you know what? She's got a claim to master legislator. No, on that, she surrenders to Joe Lieberman and all the corrupt corporate Democrats. And then with a supermajority, gets the bare minimum passed. If that's your claim to fame for why you're a good legislator, and right now you're busy doing nothing fighting Trump. In fact, you have to be honest, Brian, there's no one in the country protecting Donald Trump more than Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, boy.
Because Attorney General Barr cannot block impeachment. The only person who could block impeachment is Nancy Pelosi. So she has blocked it from day one. Do you know that Richard Neal can get Donald Trump's taxes from the state of New York, but he won't even ask for it? Because Pelosi says, no, 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 no. Why? Because you might actually find out what Trump is up to. Why is Pelosi helping Trump at every turn, having accomplished almost nothing in her career?
This is not where I thought we were going to be this morning, but this is where we are. So, Diane in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks. Hello, Diane.
Yes, hello. Actually, I think you are helping Trump more than anybody by what you're saying, sir. I hope you can control your anger and inform the American people, because Trump is incredibly dangerous, far more than corruption, far more than anything we've been talking about. Our democracy is at risk. There's major danger. He's not protecting us internationally, his foreign policy, everything he's doing. He's threatening the very fabric of our democracy. Nancy Pelosi is being a pragmatist. She's trying to focus on what she thinks will get him out in 2020. What you're doing is dividing the Democrats and the progressives. That's the way to get Trump to win. That's the way to further divide this country. That's to open us up to further totalitarianism, which is the direction we're going in. So what you're doing is the absolute most dangerous thing. If you value freedoms, if you value democracy, what you're doing by dividing the Democrats and progressives like that is the best thing you can do to destroy the fabric of what this country stands for. But I admire you for how you stand up for what is ethical and what's best in this country. We've all got to do that. We've got to not sit back on our heels or let the things that don't work continue. We've got to fight Citizens United. We've got to get that out. There's so much we have to do, but we have to unite to do that. And you're trying to vilify someone. She's trying to be pragmatic and think forward to getting Trump out. She feels that the impeachment process would just distract everything. And so, sir, I ask you, please defend the democracy and help this country get more ethical in its treatment of other countries and its treatment and corporations, everything. We've got so much to do on the progressive wing. but not divide us and not lose our basic democracy, democratic freedoms.
Diane, thank you very much. Cenk, one more time on this, then we're going to move on to other issues.
Yeah. So, first of all, on fighting Trump, just watch the Young Turks. Look, the guy has six bankruptcies. He's weak. He's a loser. He's incompetent. And if the Democratic leadership focused people on the real issues and talked about how incompetent Donald Trump is, it would actually undercut his only remaining political strength, which is that he's a good businessman and a competent manager, which we know is not the case. And we prove that every day on the Young Turks. When it comes to Democratic unity, here's the part that nobody ever talks about. Unify around what? We have a significant disagreement in the Democratic Party. We all agree Donald Trump's a monster, but we don't agree on issues. So if you say, hey, let's unify around the most popular Democrat in the country, well, the three most popular, if you do look at the polling, are Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez among Democrats, then I would say, great, let's definitely unify around those issues that Democratic voters want. If you say unify around Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Democratic leadership, who chooses not to fight Trump and who chooses to fight against Medicare for All and against Green New Deal and against higher wages, well, obviously I'm going to say no. Why would I unify around something I don't agree with? And why is it your assumption, your base assumption, that we must unify around status quo pro-corporate positions rather than unifying around the more logical idea of what progressives actually want, what Democratic voters actually want? If they agree to that, then great. And we will soon, we'll have Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders as our presidential candidate. And when we do, I hope to God all those other Democrats that have been talking about unity for all this time now actually unify around them. If they don't, they'll be shown as the hypocrites that they are.
With the next Democratic debate coming on Thursday night, why didn't you include Joe Biden? And this is not to support Joe Biden or oppose Joe Biden or anything, but why didn't you include Joe Biden in that list of most popular Democrats, given where the polls continue to be?
No, he definitely is. So I believe in polling. I'm not a television pundit. And so right now, Biden is polling at the top. At the same time, I know the history of these contests, and Joe Lieberman was polling at the top in 2004 because of name recognition and because he was Gore's VP pick. So those don't normally last. Joe Biden doesn't normally last in a presidential campaign. His fade has begun. And Brian, the most important part of all of that is we send our reporters in and we look at the minutiae of the polling. And recently, there was just in New Hampshire over the weekend, Emma Viglin, our reporter for Rebel HQ, was there. She reported that almost everybody at Biden's rallies were senior citizens, and that's okay. And a lot of senior citizens vote, and God bless their hearts. And I hope more of them vote for Democrats. But they were mainly undecided. They were going to check them out. Whereas when we went to Sanders and Warren rallies, those people have made up their minds. And they're super enthusiastic. And they not only want to vote for those candidates, they want to work for those candidates. So that's a huge energy difference that I think is going to show up in Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada. And right now in the polling, Sanders is winning in Nevada, and there's a virtual tie in New Hampshire and Iowa.
Since we took two callers who vociferously disagreed with you, we're going to take one, and we're getting pro-Cenk and anti-Cenk calls. We're going to take one who agrees with you. Michael in Kent, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. While I was on hold, I thought I would reflect both sides. I think the question is, because there are people that are saying we need to be pragmatic, and it's theorized that Nancy Pelosi is playing some brilliant game of foreseeing three-dimensional chess, playing the end game, and will eventually impeach. I think everything we need to know about her mindset could be determined in the 2003-2004 election cycle, when she famously said, if you're there, I could let you finish the phrase. But regarding Bush and the calls for impeachment, she said impeachment is off the table. So we've been down this road before. She is not playing three-dimensional chess, some incredible political game. She thinks that we must always look polite, that Democrats must always bring a butter knife to a gunfight, and that that's what makes us look strong. And if the other callers think that looking polite makes us look strong, they should look to see who won the last election, a man who said terrible things but who gave red meat to his base and continues to do so because he knows how that works, became president and may likely stay president because of that strength. Secondly, I'll just add, the reason I called is the Democratic Party tends to have the same mindset. And if we did rile up our base in the same way, legitimately, we would be reflecting huge issues such as the climate crisis. The party and leader Perez recently had the chance to establish a debate around that subject, and they shied away from it because even though the majority of the entire country needs to hear about that and agrees on most of the data and the issues, they didn't think that that was a good opportunity. So I asked those other callers to think about that. I do think that your guest would do better to perhaps not sound so agitated. But I do think that the other callers also need to look at the history, which proves that Nancy Pelosi is not in this for some long game. And I have to assume behind the scenes is actually trying to tamp down impeachment because she thinks it will be counterproductive. Her mindset is always to look mousy, to do nothing, to be polite, to go to the center and hope that the centrist voters make a decision based on that. There's another phrase about that, and then I'll let you go. I'm going to paraphrase it because I didn't think I would get to this point, but the fact that if you run, you'll have to finish it for me. If you run like a Republican, people will always vote for one. We can't win like that. We've got to state things as they are. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I know that quote you were going for there. People, given the choice between a fake Republican and a real one, people will choose the real one every time. But Michael, thank you for your views. Cenk, what did you think of the climate change forum on CNN last week? You can compare candidates if you want, but I'm thinking more globally whether that advance the cause, in your opinion, of raising consciousness on the issue?
I actually think it was a really good effort. And at the Young Turks, we're actually trying to put together a debate. I know that the DNC says that one is not allowed on this issue, but our audience has raised over $150,000 to make that debate possible at tyt.com/townhall. And it's literally an existential issue for the entire planet. We don't have a second planet. So that's why when people say doing nothing is pragmatic or the status quo is fine, no, you don't get it. The planet is on fire. There's Siberian forest is on fire. The Alaskan snow forest is on fire. We have to act right now, and we have to get those candidates on the same stage at the same time and test their ideas and see which one has more merit. And look, I think the caller is enormously right about how the status quo is not at all pragmatic. And to answer his question, and look, on the three-dimensional chess, it's no one in the Democratic establishment is allowed to make that argument anymore. That's what they told us. Oh, no, you don't understand. Obama and Schumer and Pelosi and Hillary Clinton are all playing three-dimensional chess. It looks like they lost a Supreme Court seat. It looks like they lost 1,000 seats across the country in a decade, which they did. But it's okay. They're going to play three-dimensional chess so that Hillary Clinton could be president. Well, how'd that turn out for us? It turns out they were never playing three-dimensional chess. It turns out they never had any idea what they were doing. All they are is people propped up by donor money and, honestly, the mainstream media and their love affair with them.
Last thing, then, just so we don't go around the same, you know, same ground over and over again, we've just got 2 minutes left. Since you've been putting Sanders and Warren in the same breath repeatedly, I'm just curious how you compare the two of them potentially as the next president of the United States, either for the quality of their potential presidencies or their electability against Trump?
Their electability against Trump is fantastic. Based on the polling, based on the idea of turning out your base for whenever Trump.
But I'm saying vis-a-vis each other.
Yeah, I think both of them would beat Trump easily. And so I would be thrilled to have either one as the candidate, and I could show you endless data to support that. In terms of against each other in the primary, well, I mean, look, that's a progressive dream come true, that that they would be the top two candidates. And it looks like we're headed in that direction. So I couldn't be more excited. I haven't yet made up my mind. The strength of Bernie Sanders is that he is an immovable rock. He has been on the right side of the issues against enormous pressure for 40 years and has never bent. When it was popular, when it was unpopular, he always stayed true. The great strength of Elizabeth Warren is she's a brilliant strategist and has shown, even without any power, she got the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau set up against, if you know the reality, a very reluctant Obama administration. And so she has had great strength and power even when she didn't have the Senate seat. It would be amazing to see her implement her progressive plan. So I think they're both wonderful choices, a very hard choice for progressives to make when it comes down to those two, and I hope it does.
Cenk Uygur, host and founder of the Young Turks. And I should mention co-founder of the Justice Democrats, the wing of the Democratic Party that is most pushing from the left for change, both on the policy level and the electoral level, primarying where necessary. And maybe we'll talk about that in a future appearance. You know, who you think, and, you know, maybe we'll have other people from Justice Democrats, as we have before, at the congressional level, who deserves to be primaried in 2018. But thanks so much, Cenk.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Yes, I would love to have that second conversation, too. We backed AOC because we were mad. She was right. We got Jamal Bowman against Elliot Engel in New York 16. There's so much more to talk about. Progressives need to take control of this party. Thank you, Brian.
I'll throw in a quick addendum then. Do you think that Nadler seems to be taking the lead on impeachment right now, not just because he's House Judiciary Committee chair, but because your wing has threatened to primary him if he doesn't do this, if he's not a real impeachment hawk?
If you're going to be pragmatic, you have to understand that if you keep fighting for the status quo and your corporate donors, we will come for you. So we're going after Richard Neal right now, who's the head of the House and Ways and Means, with a brilliant candidate, Alex Morse, in Massachusetts. Richard Neal sitting there doing absolutely nothing to fight against Trump. Yes, we're going to make a list. We're going to check it twice. And they said we couldn't beat Crowley, and we did. They said we couldn't beat all of these people, and we did. And so Elliot Engel, all of these status quo politicians, my God, and down in Texas, Cuellar is voting with Trump 70% of the time and calls himself a Democrat. Jessica Cisneros is going to beat him. Yeah. She's going to be another AOC. So, yes, the Justice Democrats are coming. Justice is coming.
Thanks again. We appreciate it. Brian Lehrer.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And for something completely different after the break, Malcolm Gladwell joins us. Stay with us.